This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Hey guys, quick thing. The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only question left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We're back. We're top. Arsenal 2, Wolves 0. The title race is far from done. Hello and welcome to the Gooner Talk, back again with you guys for another episode of what is our Raw Reaction Show, joining you the morning after the night before, which was Arsenal winning 2-0 at Wolves in the Premier League title race. Usually I would be joining you at 8 a.m. Today I'm not, so I'm joining you at 8:30 this morning, or 8:33. Needed to restart my laptop. But the reason why I'm doing that is because I wasn't actually able to do the show at 8 because I had to take the missus to the station because she's on our way now to London to run the London Marathon. And thank you to all of you that have donated to what is a very special cause. She's supporting the Wisdom Hospice, which looked after both of our grandfathers in their final days, and we wanted to give something back. So that's what she's doing. I say we wanted to give something back, like I'm running the marathon. I'm not involved in any way. I'm going to be hopping around London with a shandy in my hand and on a tube, doing it the way that any sane person would do the London Marathon. But she's off there. If you would like to donate, today's the last day that you can. The link is down in the description. I've actually added to the video description today. If you want to go and donate anything, that would be really great if you could. And she hit target. She was aiming to hit £1,000. She did that. She sounds great. She's been brilliant. And yeah, but if you still want to help her get even further, you can go down to the link in the description and donate to what is a really, really good cause, the Wisdom Hospice. So thank you to everybody that has and that, after I said this, potentially will. But we're here to talk about Arsenal against Wolves. And if you could drop a like on the video, that would be incredibly appreciated. We hit 1,000 likes on the last two videos, despite we had to catch up. But we got there. We did it. 1,000 likes was indeed achieved. But we need to keep that going. Just like Arsenal are keeping the title race alive with their own victories as well. We're going to talk about all that and plenty more in today's show. Good morning to those joining us in the chat box. Z, World Citizen, Arasilki, Alan, Amira. We've got Zimin UK, who I joined, Murray, yesterday. Was with us in Brookgate in the Arsenal Tavern. A few listeners came down. Laura Kirk came down as well to watch the game with us. And it's the first time I've watched the game as a fan in a really long time. I wasn't working this weekend on my annual leave because of the marathon. And so I was like, let's just put the call out, you know, see if anyone fancies coming and watching it in London. And we got a good group of us together to watch the game. And it was great watching it as a fan for the first time in a long time. Was, you know, getting very frustrated, very annoyed. But usually my head's kind of like down typing and looking up and then typing and looking up and typing as I'm constantly working throughout the game and doing the minute by minute commentary. But yeah, it was a nice, refreshing experience to watch the game as a fan again, with no responsibilities at all. I wonder if that's made me change the way I viewed things. I guess we'll see. Kish, good morning to you, to Chris, to Carl, to we've got Morgan and Jose. Good morning to John. Good morning to Grandmaster Hoot. It's Nicholas. Thank you to all of you for tuning in. Very much appreciated. I hope you had a fantastic start, or rather end, to your week. I think it has gone pretty darn well. Shall we crack on? I think we should. Wolves 0, Arsenal 2, one game at a time, has always been the message from Mikel Arteta, and that is indeed the focus. It is just taking these games one at a time. I think people are too... I saw so many tweets yesterday focused on what games Man City have got left, what games Liverpool have got left. You know, the fact that Man City's away record against the teams that they've got isn't great. The fact that their away record this season isn't the best. Stop focusing on City, because it doesn't matter. We need to win our games. We can't lose sight of what we need to do, which is just to win. We need to focus on what we're doing, which means winning on Tuesday against Chelsea, winning then at Spurs on the weekend, winning then after a week's break against Bournemouth. As I said before, I think that we can win every game this season if we win the next now two. I think getting through Wolves, Chelsea, Spurs is the big challenge. If you can get through them and then you get a week's break before Bournemouth, I think we're in a really good place. But it's just getting through these. Wolves was number one, Chelsea's two, Spurs is three. Get through these three games, I think we've got a great chance of winning all of our games. I can see us beating Bournemouth, I can see us beating Man United, I can see us beating Everton. But these games being so close together with the fatigue and the tiredness and the, you know, the hangover from Bayern and Villa, I was concerned. So part one done. We've got parts two and three to go. But we want to talk about yesterday's game in more detail. First of all, the lineups. Tomiyasu was left out with what is said to be a precaution. It was just a knock. And hopefully it's not too serious. Hopefully he'll be fine for the coming games, if indeed we do need him. But obviously a frustration that he wasn't with the squad yesterday. But the lineup was Raya, White, Saliba, Gabriel, Kivior, Rice, Havertz, Ødegaard, Saka, Trossard, Jesus, Havertz in midfield again. Why? I don't get it. Every time I see it, every time I see Havertz sitting in the midfield, I'm like, why? Why is he there? But in fairness to Havertz, he had a really good game. A very, very good game indeed. Was good going forwards, was, you know, good in the passing, was good in transition, was good defending as well. Definitely should have seen Kilman get sent off for his tackle on him, by the way. It's 100% a red card. I can't believe it wasn't even checked. It's a terrible tackle, out of control, into his ankle, studs up. It's all, it literally is all the tick boxes that you need for a red card. Clear red card all day long. But we didn't make too many changes from that game. Saka still started. Jesus obviously starting. Rice still starting. Ødegaard still starting. White still starting. Three changes still from that Bayern game, with Martinelli dropping out and Tomiyasu dropping out. And who was the other one that dropped out as well? Someone else. I thought there was a third one. I'm pretty sure there was a third one. I thought it was a pretty good performance, to be fair, and was very, very pleased with obviously not necessarily the finishing, because we probably should have won by more. And there was such a frustration building that we weren't taking the chances and we weren't actually shooting at times. Again, this emphasis on somebody taking command of the situation, actually taking the shot rather than trying to walk the ball into the back of the net. Havertz was that guy as well. But yeah, Jorginho. Thank you, Peter. Yes, Jorginho was the other guy that came out as well. Leandro Trossard, though, is the best finisher at the football club. And I've been saying this for a while, and I've been giving you the numbers, and I've been telling you for weeks that Leandro Trossard is the best finisher at this club. And once again, he rose to the fore, and he strikes a shot with an XG of a ridiculously low number, and hits the back of the net. Well, rather, hits the post and then the back of the net. But my goodness me, he is just so good at just scoring goals. And I kind of liked the freedom that Jesus and Trossard have to interchange and to move around. And they were constantly moving into each other's spaces, creating a bit of chaos for Wolves' back line. And that was really important. That gave us a lot of freedom and movement and some really good passing combinations as well. People say he mishit it. I'm sorry, but this guy means what he does. There's nothing that's going to take away my view that this was incredibly intentional and he knew exactly what he was doing. And Trossard was just pinging that ball into the top right-hand corner every single time he took that shot. 11 times out of 10, he scores it like that. I don't know what people are talking about. It was brilliant. It was intentional. It was glorious. And I enjoyed every second of it. Ødegaard is now, I don't know why I've managed to spell that wrong. But I suppose I saw this stat this morning. Ødegaard is now 3 away Premier League goals from becoming our highest Premier League away goal-scoring midfielder. is the stat I read this morning somewhere. And yeah, he's 3 goals away from becoming the highest away goal scoring midfielder in Arsenal history, is supposedly the stat, which, if true, and I haven't been able to vet this yet, but this is the stat that I've seen go around, is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Like, he just turns up. People say that, remember those like kind of sayings where they said that he doesn't turn up in big games, or he doesn't turn up in big moments. And this guy just continuously does turn up these days. Like, there's no question about his ability. There's no question about his quality. There's no question for me about him being a world-class player. But the fact that this stat, if true, and I do want to preface that with saying, if true, is quite the statistic. Because, yeah, I hope it's true. I really, really do. Because if it is true, I think the fact that he's just three goals away from achieving that is kind of crazy, considering the midfielders like that we've had at this football club. So absolutely brilliant. Fantastic goal as well. Finally taking responsibility. Somebody taking responsibility for that is... Because I hate the fact that we continuously want to just walk the ball into the back of the net. But yeah, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant footballer. And again, I love the celebration as well. I assume this is kind of a camera, take a photograph type celebration. I hope that it is, because I think that's what the reference would be. But maybe he'll tell me after one of the games before now and the end of the season that that was not the case. David Raya, keeping six consecutive clean sheets away from home. The stats, the records are just falling away, and they are quite impressive. David Raya making an unbelievably good reaction stop. People talk about his shot stopping. They talk about the fact that he can't, you know, he's not as good of a shot stopper as Ramsdale. Doesn't mean that he can't produce great saves. And this was a great save. It's always nice, isn't it, when a goalkeeper pushes the ball onto a post and it goes out. And it just, the reactions that he needed to do to get his hand up as quick as he did, those huge hands making a big, big difference, it seems, in a really key moment for David Raya as well. So brilliant save. Six away clean sheets in a row. Unbelievable record. And considering the fact that we've still got two more really important away games at Spurs and Manchester United, we're going to need more of those clean sheets, please, David. We're going to need some more of those. And Rice back to his very best. I think he was absolutely shattered by about 70, 75 minutes and then produced one of the best 10 minutes in an away fixture of a midfielder ever. It was unbelievable how much energy he had. He was tackling, he was chasing, he was pressing, he was passing, he was striking, he was creating chances. He was taking every player on the pitch on at one point. Just fantastic. Absolutely glorious midfield performance from Declan Rice. And the last 10 minutes, as I say, in particular, was so good. Deserved man of the match, ran the game everywhere. And considering that the last couple of games he's been accused of fading a little bit and, you know, not necessarily being as strong, so good. Solid 9 out of 10 performance from Declan Rice. And Bukayo Saka played 90 plus minutes again. And this is my gripe. And I shouldn't have gripes because we won. But I can't help it. I can't help but have gripes. He did not need to. He did. Bukayo Saka did not get taken off at any stage in the game. I was pulling my hair out. Absolutely pulling my hair out. Yes, it was only 1-0. If it goes to 1-1, you could argue that we need a player like Saka on there. But he didn't have like, you know, he had a couple of opportunities. He was running, I think it was Totti, on their left-back position pretty hard at times. But you've got players on the bench. Use them, you know. Like, you could bring Nelson on. You could bring Vieira on. They brought off Trossard for Martinelli. I probably would have taken off Saka for Martinelli and played Martinelli on the right-hand side. Take the guy out. Take the guy out. Please rest him. Just rest him. You can move Jesus there. You can play Vieira there. You can play Martinelli there. You can play Nelson there. There's so many opportunities. There's so many different players that we can play in those positions. And he left him on for the whole game. Like, he won the game, and I absolutely love Arteta for it. And, you know, I'm never one to really criticise him too much, but I will when I think he deserves it. And I just think that playing Saka for 90-plus minutes is... What was he thinking? What was he thinking? Just rest him. So, yeah, that was my gripe of the game. Odegaard as well playing full 90. Rice playing full 90 as well. I don't know, Odegaard scored at the end, but, yeah. Goodness gracious. Arsenal Avengers said, I disagree, Tom. This is what a big player must do. But the thing is that we can see he's tired. We can see he's fatigued. His performances have dropped. His level has dropped. And that's really, really important to make sure that we manage those minutes. Because in future seasons, while we do dip in April, while we do, you know, we do end up frustrated with ourselves that we're fading, it's because we're not managing minutes of players as effectively as we could do, in my opinion. And I think ultimately Saka needs to be more, given more opportunities to rest. But what does it mean, that win? Well, it means that Arsenal are back to the top of the table. Liverpool play today. They play against a team in the Premier League. Fulham away from home. Not an easy game for Liverpool. And Manchester City, of course, will not play until Arsenal have played their next game, which is against Chelsea. Manchester City playing on Thursday against Brighton away from home. Not an easy game. Their last three games away from home are not easy. They've got Brighton, they've got Forest, and they've got Spurs. There are their three remaining away games. And speaking of Spurs, who Arsenal will be playing, of course, a week today or a week yesterday, Destiny Adoji is now going to be out into the rest of the season because he's suffered a significant injury. So he won't be available for Spurs in the game against us, which is a big, big blow to them, which I suppose is a positive for Arsenal. So that's worth also bearing in mind. The other Premier League results, just to get you rounded up on those from yesterday, Brentford beating Luton Town 5-1. They look in a bit of trouble now, don't they, with the injuries that's taken their toll. Can they survive the drop? They are 1 point off of Nottingham Forest, who have a game in hand. That game in hand, I think, is today. They play against Everton in a huge, huge clash. The winner of that, you'd think, is probably going to be staying up. And then you've got Sheffield United losing to Burnley at home. Big loss for Sheffield United, pretty much sentencing them, if not already, to relegation this season. In fact, they are how many points off of safety? 10 points off of safety. So they're still technically not relegated, but it's not looking good for Sheffield United. I think they're pretty much down. Arsenal, of course, beat Wolves. And then the other games today, we've got Aston Villa hosting Bournemouth, Crystal Palace hosting West Ham United, and Fulham hosting Liverpool. It's interesting, actually, to see Iraola at the game yesterday. Of course, with Bournemouth facing Aston Villa nearby to Wolves, the Bournemouth manager took the opportunity to go and watch the Wolves-Arsenal game, knowing that we're going to be playing Bournemouth in a couple of weeks. So I thought that was quite an interesting thing from yesterday. And then, of course, you've got Liverpool against Fulham at Craven Cottage at 4:30. So that's the remaining games of this weekend. Right, let's go to part two then, and your questions and thoughts on yesterday's game right after this.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. And the same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay, jumping into the chat, we're going to tackle some of your comments. If you've not dropped a like on the video yet, please make sure that you do. Help us to hit our 1K everyday target. And for those that missed my little shout at the start of the show, the missus is running the London Marathon today. Please go down to the link in the description as well. And if you can donate anything, please do help out. But if you can, please do support what is a brilliant, brilliant cause. You can read all the information in the link down, as I say, in the description. Right, let's go to Olu, who says, Van Dijk, Firmino, Salah and Mane played more than 50 matches. Trent and Robertson, 49. Ginny, 47. Liverpool's title-winning victory in 103, 105 points calendar year. Every great team plays tired, indeed. But it's the volume of players for Arsenal at this moment in time without the same depth that Liverpool team had. They played matches, but I'd be interested to know the minute difference. We can talk about how many games they played, but the minute difference is ultimately a very important factor as well. And as a lot of the graphics that were coming out over yesterday's games showed, there is a significant difference in the amount of minutes that Arsenal players have played. So this is the rankings for the most minutes played by Premier League players in the top three clubs. Arsenal contains six of the top seven players. Saliba, 2,970 minutes. Declan Rice, 2,780 minutes. Martin Odegaard, 2,650 minutes. Then it's Virgil van Dijk on 2,638. Gabriel, 2,625 minutes. Bukayo Saka, 2,593 minutes. And Ben White, 2,566 minutes. Then to go into eighth place, you have to drop more than 100 minutes, more than a whole game's worth, down to Julian Alvarez, 2,461, Phil Foden, 2,453, and Rodri, 2,409. So William Saliba has played, minute-wise, more than five games, nearly six games more in terms of just 90-minute matches than Rodri has. Declan Rice has played more, nearly, I think, just about four games worth more than what Rodri has this season as well. These stats are pretty darn damning, you know, at times for Arsenal's minutes per over the season. So we can all talk about what title-winning teams have, you know, played and the starts and the games, but actually it's the minutes that you need to look at. And so that's it. Let's go to Wong Tong Soup. Says, some have suggested Wilshere became injury prone due to being overplayed at a young age. While I'm not sure that's true, it's because it's not true. Wilshere become injury prone because of the persistent, ridiculous challenges that he suffered to his ankles in training on the pitch. And Saka, I am concerned that that will happen to him one day because he continually suffers awful kicks and tackles and challenges constantly. Katie says, how good did Partey look when he came on the field? Again, it's calming. It's just that presence to just be a little bit more experienced. And I think we missed that actually at Bayern. I'm very frustrated that he didn't play. Raya was amazing yesterday, says Raj, and you're absolutely right. Jürgen says, is it true the first football match televised was between Arsenal and Arsenal reserves in 1937? That sounds like a bit of a trivia question that I'm sure someone will be able to confirm. John says, Odegaard didn't score the second until very late, probably why Saka stayed on as we search for that finishing goal. Absolutely, that's why they stayed on, because Arteta didn't trust the players to come off the bench to either see out the game or to go and get the second, which is in itself very, very telling. Vistor says, Kivior was embarrassing last night. Man sets a sprint record but has zero agility or flexibility. Embarrassing. I think you need to watch the game again, mate. Yes, he made one error. He was actually quite unlucky when it came to that moment with Joao Gomez. Kivior was not embarrassing at all last night whatsoever. I think some people have just got a bit of a, got something out for Kivior these days. It's very weird considering he's been very important for our 2024 run. He started the most games of any player at left back in 2024. And by the way, we've only lost one and drawn one this whole year so far with him playing the majority of those games at left back, including starting at City. So yeah, very odd take that one. Tim says, Odegaard, best captain since Vieira. I tell you what, it's not a bad question, is it? Is he a better captain than Cesc? Is he a better captain than Thierry? Is he a better captain than Aubameyang? Is he a better captain than Koscielny? There's good arguments. Very good arguments. Depends what you consider captain material, you know. It depends what you see as that as well. Nathan says, Kivior did not have a pretty good first half, but he was decent overall. And this is what I mean. The suggestion that he was embarrassing is just a joke, quite frankly. Phil Ed says, I think it's quite damning on the trust Mikel has on some of the bench players. Clearly doesn't trust them, and the evidence was that they needed to get an upgrade this summer. And I think absolutely we're looking this summer to try and bring in as many quality players as we can. Brian says, Rodri would have played more, but due to his red cards. He was also rested, Brian. He was rested against Luton. He was said in an interview recently that he was tired. And for that reason, Pep Guardiola rested him against Luton, as he did with Phil Foden. So he's resting players still despite them playing significant numbers of minutes. Nelson says, factor in suspensions and injuries if Rodri... Again, the Rodri thing, like, he was also rested. Like, this is the thing, that he is being rested in game. Just recently look at the Luton match as a great example of that. John says, Kivior had a couple of mistakes, was very good in the second half. Why do people keep focusing on the negatives? Because that's what some people do, John. I think that was the first comment that Wiz actually put in the chat today. I could be wrong, but it's the first one I noticed throughout the show, and it was a negative. It kind of tells you we've won a game. You can often tell kind of the... It's a good way of measuring an immediate mindset is, what's the first comment you leave other than good morning or hello? But what's the first comment you're leaving in comment sections? What's the first tweet you're making after a game? Is it positive? Is it constructive? Is it critical? I think it's quite telling on the person. Let's go to Nelson says, Saka is like Suarez and Aguero. They always looked hurt when coming off and overplays just how much pain they are actually in. Maybe. Maybe there's something in that. Cape Town says he was poor in the first half, but turned it around with a good performance in the second. As I say, just decent at the end of the day. Just thought he was decent. Was not embarrassing, that's for sure. Adam says, I like how our defence is a spectrum. Zinny, left-back. Kivior, centre-back, says left-back. Gabriel, centre-back. Saliba, centre-back. White, centre-back. Right-back. Tommy, right-back. Centre-back. Cedric, right-back. Yeah, it's kind of got that full spec, hasn't it? Timber, of course, will fall somewhere into probably, maybe Timber's the bookends. He can be at both ends of that spectrum of defensive positionings because he can play both left back and right back and centre back. So he'd be right in the middle as well. Timber's in three places in our back line. MA says we just need City to slip up, and wouldn't it be poetic if Spurs beat them and it won us the league? It would be, but again, I think people need to stop talking about City. We absolutely just need to play our games, you know. Focus. The next focus is Chelsea. Beat Chelsea. I'm not thinking about the title. I'm not thinking about City. I'm thinking about Chelsea. That's all we need to focus on. Just think about that game. Onyx Len says, I think a proper six is what we need. When Partey and Jorginho play well, Rice looks a different player. Frees him up to hunt players down as well. I think, obviously, it depends upon who is available and which player we can target. If the best six is certainly possible, then great, go for that. But ultimately, if you can't go and get that, then go and get the other position. And Rice is confident to play both. So it depends upon the profile of availability that we've got as well. Tulip says, if we go for a striker like Jokeres, I think we can go for a Alanga to strength in depth. What are your thoughts? I'm not sure Alanga's at the level, personally. I'd be looking at a Nico Williams, somebody like that instead. Lucas says, hi Tom, sorry for my accidental DM yesterday. Was it a moaning about the lineup or something like that? Hold on, let me find it. Yeah, it was sending me Rory Talks Football, his tweet about Martin Lee for Trossard, Partey for Jesus, Havertz up top, the changes that I'd make at halftime. I don't know why, Lucas, you need to apologise. It was just like a DM anyone would send me, to be fair. So I still took it as it was. Alex says, for a depleted Wolves squad missing five or six of their starters, we should have rested more. Partey, Elneny, Vieira, Smith-Rowe, what is their role in this team? There isn't really one, it seems, at the moment. Partey's got more of a role than any of them. Smith-Rowe maybe a bit, but seems that Arteta doesn't trust that depth for these key games. Late Bloomer says, what are we going to do with Tomiyasu? I mean, we've extended him, so keep him, I guess. Lee says, City were beatable yesterday. Chelsea will rue the missed chances. They will. Chelsea, my goodness me, they should have won that game. And it's absolutely damning that they didn't. It's also damning to see a video of Thiago Silva crying and in the background, Madueke is joking around with Grealish. It kind of shows you the difference, I guess, in mentality. And of course, there's more emotion for Thiago Silva because he's coming to the end of his career. It could have been one of the last chances to win a trophy. So I absolutely understand that. But it does show the difference, doesn't it, in mindset, I suppose, for those players. Tizer says, the schedule is the problem. City played yesterday after 120 and we have to play on a Tuesday when Wednesday would have been a better, considering we're playing Sunday. Believe TV do this to make slip-ups. It's impossible to know why and how they do it, but why and how they do it at the moment is completely ridiculous. Court says, I know he didn't contribute yesterday, but do you think Havertz would get 14 goals and assists this season? Did you think that he would get that? I guess if you'd have asked me in the first few games, I probably would have said no. But by Christmas, I certainly thought he might have done. And he's been a good signing for us. You know, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that he was the right player to sign now. And, you know, Madison, no, wouldn't have been available for most of the season. Szoboszlai, he's outperformed him at Liverpool. He's turned out to be the best of those three. I remember at the start of the season, we had comments saying we could have signed Szoboszlai. We could have signed Madison. Well, I haven't seen those comments for a very, very long time. A very, very long time. And that's very, very important indeed. Basher says, one would think that in the last year of the five-year project, which is next season, he'll only be needing one or two players most. The cherry on the top of the cake type player. However, we still need players in every line. I don't think that's the case, Basher, at all. Because, and I've had this conversation with a few people, this isn't the last year of the five-year project, by the way. It was never a five-year project. It was five phases. That wasn't 5 years. And as Arteta said in a press conference the other day, we're nearly at phase four. So this isn't even phase four yet. He feels like we're nearly in phase four, which I think is being an established title challenger and competitor. That's phase four. Phase five is winning it. That's what phase five has to be. But phase four is establishing yourself, which we do this season if we, you know, if we fight to the end, if we stay through to the end, then that means obviously that we're in a position to call ourselves regular title challengers because we've done it over the past two seasons. Phase four, phase five, winning it. That's phase five, is winning it. And also, the idea that we'd add one or two players after 5 years, despite the fact we started this whole process when Arteta took over when we were in 11th place in the league, to think that we'd be adding just a couple of players now, no. Because the players that we signed in the year one, year two, year three, there's always going to be the need to replace those players because we've now elevated ourselves to a level higher than the players that we signed 2-3 years ago. So you're always going to have to keep that churn of players going over. It's never going to be a case where you just need one or two. You're always going to need more players. The thing about being at the top, though, the thing about establishing yourself as title challengers, it puts you in the best position possible to sign fewer players. And what I mean by that is that the players that you're signing when you're competing for titles are going to be of a relatively similar level each single summer, whereas the players that you sign on your way up to being title challengers are always going to be a level above every year. So eventually, as I said, the players we signed, say, 3 years ago, unless we've coached them or they've improved significantly, like a Gabriel, for instance, like a Ben White, for instance, those players, and Ødegaard, of course, as well, we don't need to replace those because they've turned into title challenge-worthy players. But players, of course, like Partey, who was more experienced when we signed him, we're going to need to replace. Players like Ramsdale, who we've outgrown with Raya, we're going to need to replace. Players like Tomiyasu eventually would also replace him. That was telling in his contract that we signed, which is only a one-year extension on top of the existing deal that he had. Players like Zinchenko, players like Jesus, we have outgrown these players. And so we will, of course, replace them. We've kind of already done that with Zinchenko, with Timber as well. So it's worth pointing that out. So the idea that we would only need one or two after 5 years was never realistic because obviously the levels have continuously just rose year on year. Let's go to Kieran says, will be worth watching Atalanta in the Europa League. I think Koopmeiners would be a great signing. I also like Bakayoko as a backup for Saka. I don't think that you'd get a Nico Williams without being a guaranteed starter. It's difficult, you know. It's difficult to know whether you would or what type of challenge he's looking for. His versatility to play on both sides, his ability to score goals. He's already Spanish international at senior level as well, starting games for them. So, very talented footballer and a good buyout clause as well, around £40 to £50 million. So, one to keep an eye on, but I see where you're coming from. John says, did you hear any of Jamie Redknapp's comments post-game? He said Arsenal will win the league next season, regardless of this season and what happens. Arsenal are his favourites for next season. Wow. Fair play. I'm not sure. City still would be my favourites going into next season, unless, of course, we win the league. Then you're putting yourself into a very different position and you'd have to kind of see as well what's going on. But it's going to be intriguing. Z says, what's the start time for your missus? What time target is it for your missus? I think she just wants to get under 5 hours, mate. So first marathon. So if she can get under 5 hours, she'll be happy. Duncan says, Tom, you sound like a person who's lost hope on the title race. I think go back and start the show again, Duncan. And then it might change your mind. Ferrand says, what's more important for the summer, Tom, a 6 or an 8? Depends on who's available, mate. Depends on the profile. Each is equally important because Rice is capable of playing both to a very good standard, a very, very, very good standard. So it depends on who is available. If you can sign the best 8, go for that. If you can sign the best 6, go for that. I don't think you can get both, but it depends upon the profile of availability in the summer. That's what will dictate which is more important is who is there for us to go and get. Dan says Neto would be good, won't have to play every game, so shouldn't have necessarily the same injury issues, you'd hope. And it is always just that, you'd hope. Is that enough for us to commit to? That's important. John says, come on, Tom, we are improving every... Did I not... What have I said? I don't think I didn't say that. We are improving every year. S says, I've lost hope on the title. And some people have, you know, it's absolutely... It's absolutely in my mind to think that the people out there will have lost hope and that people will have used this as a coping mechanism because that is the way forward. You know, that is ultimately the position they want to be in. WizTor says, Tom, who other than yourself do you consider to be a good Arsenal Conte? Oh, that's a very nice thing to say. Thank you. Other than yourself. Thank you, Wiz. to be a good Arsenal content creator, and what not do you like watching? I'm never going to turn around and say what I don't like watching. Why be not nice when you can be nice? But of course, there's plenty of other fantastic channels out there. What I end up doing, though, is whenever I list off people, you end up forgetting people. Always. So if I don't mention anyone, it's not personal, because it's just who I've remembered in that moment. But just make sure you're always watching the likes of Harry Simeu, FK from Latte Fern, Sophie from Highbury Squads. Always have to go and check those guys out. You should be listening to the Askcast, of course, the Vision, of course, as well, and making sure you listen to all of those. There's loads of other channels that you can check out and enjoy, but what's the point of me turning around and saying who I don't like watching? I'm not going to turn around and do that. That's just mean. There's too much sadness in this world. Alex says, as much as we talk about competing and the role of squad investment, I feel more focus is needed on revenue growth and commercial dealings. We're making progress, but actually falling behind competitors. I think there's loads of work going on in commercial dealings. Did you not just see the massive training centre deal that we've just done that's got us loads of money? Through the door. That Shoba Realty deal is a huge commercial benefit. The Emirates deal there's something recently with the Emirates deal as well. I don't think we are falling behind our competitors necessarily. I think there is a lot of work actually going on a commercial side of things. I will say a channel I don't like watching. This channel called the Gooners Pod is, oh, deary, deary me. Deary, deary me. Terrible. Pablo says, Havertz is a nuisance to defenders and when he plays the advanced position, but his shot always looks a little weak. Jesus needs to stay behind after training and practice hitting the target because he's really poor. The thing is, I watch Havertz before the games doing his warm-ups and his shots are excellent. In the game, I see where you're coming from. There's always times where I want him to see a little bit more conviction in his shooting. But when he's training, when he does the warm-up stuff, you watch some of his shots and they are absolute hammer blows. I don't know why he doesn't do that in games to a better standard, but I understand to agree. Charles Watts, absolutely rancid. This is the thing, you just end up forgetting people. Absolutely make sure you subscribe to Charles. Archer says, sorry, Tom, people are paid to do their jobs, and if Saka couldn't complete 90 minutes, he wouldn't have. He's fine. Trust the coaches. I'm just not about not trusting the coaches. I know that there's been issues. I know we've had issues this season. I know that we should have rotated better. It's not a case of just saying trust the coaches. If we'd have brought off Martinelli at half-time against Sheffield United when we're 5-0 up, he never would have got injured, and maybe we'd have a better Martinelli now. And it's easy to say that, of course, with the benefit of hindsight, but he should have been off at half-time. Our best player should have been off at 5-0 against Sheffield United. Our best player should have been off at 4-0 against West Ham. They should have been off when we were hugely winning by a massive scoreline against Burnley. You know, same for Crystal Palace. We could make changes more effectively, but we haven't. And I think that's a fair criticism. Olu says, in the 1920 winning campaign by minutes, Salah 4091, Van Dijk. Is this total? That's total competitions, right, Olu? You need to correct that for me. You need to get that because that sounds like all competitions rather than just Premier League. That'd be crazy if that was just Premier League. I need Premier League minutes, mate. Get me Premier League minutes. Xhaka, my captain, says, have you ever done any content with Patrick Van Straten? Ex-Football Daily, it would be interesting to hear you in conversation. No, I haven't. I haven't, mate. No. So let me know who he is. Fuad says, got an episode of Left of Fallout. Never really played it, but very solid show and intrigued by the ghoul character. We do love our Fallout updates. No spoilers in the chat box, please. But it is by far the best game adaptation. Last of Us, it's just way better. It's just way better than Last of Us. I'm sorry. I know there's big Last of Us fans out there, but you cannot beat a show that takes a story forwards. It's not a recreation. It's not just following the game or what they've done previously. It's absolutely, Last of Us is excellent, brilliant remaster and kind of retelling of the same story in live action form. Excellent show. But the difference is that Fallout has taken an existing universe, taken it into real live action, taken the story forwards whilst being absolutely and critically loyal to the game franchise and the story and the vibe and the atmosphere and everything to do with Fallout, and take it into a new story. And that's why Fallout is better than The Last of Us. It just is. So you can come debate me all you like, but it's just and the effects as well, you know, besides a couple of issues, there's a couple of issues with the effects, but on the whole, very, very good. Ajmal says, have you heard Martin Keown saying Arsenal conceded 17 goals in 98-99 and lost the league, and then they signed Thierry Henry? Who do you think that we have to sign now? Well, isn't it obvious? We need to sign Thierry Henry. The 2024 Thierry Henry, whoever is that. But yeah, certainly that's who we need to go and get. Salahuddin says, Tom, it's quite easy to say when you're not the manager. If after the substitution yesterday, the manager will be criticised removing a top performer who can conjure Smith out of nothing. It is. You're right. It's very easy. Doesn't mean I don't think I'm right, though. It's very easy for me to say it, but I still say it. And for that reason, I stand by it. So there you go. And yes, season two of Fallout has been commissioned, John. You're absolutely right. A new season is coming and it seems like it's going to be set. I'm not going to tell you because that would be a spoiler. But if you go to the, if you wait to the right at the end of the last episode of the series, then you'll know where the next season, it seems, is going to have plenty of influence, which is very exciting because that, where it's, where it is going to go, is from one of the best Fallout games out there is. My personal favourite Fallout game is Fallout 4 because it's how I entered the entire universe. I know that Vegas is, the story of Vegas is excellent, and 3 is also very good. I never played the first two when they're in, obviously, the previous studio that owned them at that point, but Fallout 4 is my favourite game. It might be my favourite game of all time. I'm trying to think of it. I love The Witcher 3. Was a big Halo fan as a youngster and still am today, but the games recently have been frustrating, and so has the the TV show is horrific. But yeah, Fallout 4 might be my favorite game. Call me crazy. Let's go to Sean. Says, I wonder what has caused Trossard's golden assist splits by season with most assists last season and mostly goals this season. I think it may be just the experience of him. He's taking more responsibility. He feels like he's the guy that needs to score the goals. But he's now got, he's got more goals and assists than, who is it? In the Premier, I think non-penalty goals and assists, he may be leading the way, actually. I don't know why I think that. I think non-penalty goals and assists, I think he has the most, even more than, can't be more than Saka, can it? In the Premier League, maybe? But it's very good. The record is very, very good. Wistel says, do you watch the Big Six? I don't, honestly, I don't actually watch. Really, I don't really get to watch other channels. I'm so busy, I don't tend to be able to get to watch or listen to too much others. So if you keep asking me who, like, if I watch XYZ, the answer is most likely going to be no, because I don't have the time. I don't have the time to watch them. So either I'm doing this or I'm working, or the only things I really do listen to, like, and make sure if I'm in the car, is I'll chuck on the Arsecast, I'll chuck on the Vision. I'm always making sure they're in the background. I have to make sure that Clive's not said anything horrible about me on the Vision. So they're always of the staples, but and they're the and covers, they're the more podcast format, whereas obviously the ones you're talking about are more like YouTube-y format. So if I'm listening to something on a, when I'm at the gym or if I'm on a long drive, it's going to be the Vision and the Arsecast. Late Bloomer says, who has the most goals and assists at the club since Trossard's arrival? He has to be at the top or close after Saka. I think it is Saka, but you're right. He will be very close. Trevor says, if Tom's wife is wearing a football shirt, it would be a Charlton shirt. Yeah, it would be. She's not wearing a Charlton shirt, but I will be wearing this up there today to make myself stand out as much as feasibly possible so she can spot us. But yeah, she would be wearing a Charlton shirt if she was. And she's got plenty of Charlton shirts because she is a big, big Charlton fan. Matata United says, Tom would love to see you at Terry on the Football Terrace. Hey, look, I used to do shows at Terry back in the day, but I haven't done it in a very long time. I've often actually challenged Terry on a lot of points and he's never wanted to take it up on the debate, which is fine. You know, I accept that. If people don't want to debate, that's absolutely not my... It's not my prerogative. Whenever anyone's asked to do a debate, you know me, I'm always up for it. That's why we do phone-in shows. If people don't want to debate a point, they don't want to debate a point. It's as simple as that. But we do phone-in shows all the time. It's indiscriminate. You know, people can, as long as you're not abusive, as long as you're not disrespectful, everyone is welcome on those phone-in shows. So, you know, it's as simple as that. Anyway, I think we'll end the show there. Thank you so much for tuning in. Always appreciate your time. Have a absolutely fantastic day. Enjoy yourselves. Relax in the glory of being top of the table, and we'll be top of the table even as we go into our next game. So it's nice to be back at the top as well. Let's just enjoy this period as much, because you never know how long it's going to last. You know, City have got these games in hand now, and we don't know what's going to happen between now and the end of the season. But you've got to jump on the train as much as you can. Get behind this team. Next game is Chelsea. That's the only thing I care about. I don't care what City are doing. I don't care what anyone else is doing. I just care that what we're doing is winning the next game. And the next game is Chelsea. So let's focus on that. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic day. Enjoy yourselves. Stay safe. Stay well. Stay happy and respectful. And as always, up the Arsenal.
It's the 90 plus minute. All your mates around, and you've got a McNuggets share box ready to go, and you know a late winner's coming. Your mate's already got booked for a double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfection. Order now on the McDonald's app for your McDelivery. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.